G'day, folks. Talk to Scott Blaine, the host of the Rehash Draft Class podcast. A Philly native. Talked about all things basketball, the recent playoff series with the Suns and Bucks, the Greek Freak, the controversy with Ben Simmons against the Atlanta Hawks, some of the lead up, a little bit of Olympics. Talked about some previous draft classes over the years with the NBA, some of the trade rumors. So it was great, you know, having a yarn with Scott, someone that lives in a sports rich history town like Philadelphia, spoilt for choice with the NBA, with the NFL, with the MLB, with the NHL. They got it all going on. And he's doing a great job with what he's doing with his podcast and just looking at the different American sports and over the years and just was what went right, what went wrong with some of the drafts, where some of the individuals are, who excelled, who sunk, some of the flops. Doing good stuff, brother. And if you like the podcast, hit that subscribe button. Be much appreciated. And go to Patreon page. So if you want to become a part of the Keep Rolling Squad, hit the link below. Check it out. Become a patron. Be great. And want to thank our sponsors, Permobil Australia, the greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four wheels right here. And they've got great assistive tech also. So righto, let's get into it.
Keep rolling with Jake Briggs.
Oh, yeah. Scott, brother, Scott Blaine, much appreciated for, you know, jumping on the podcast and having a chat with us, mate, about the NBA, basketball, sports in general. So, you know, because I love what you're doing with your podcast with the Rehash Draft Class. So thanks for coming down, mate.
Appreciate it, man. I did notice that I had a few downloads in Australia. I guess that was you.
Yeah, oh, me, and there'd be a few others, man. Like, there's a lot of love over here for American sports, whether that's, you know, NBA, whether that's American football, hockey, baseball. Like, there's a lot of people over here that, you know, follow a lot of those different streams when it's got to do with sports, because it's pretty rich culture that you've got over there and where that's transpired over here to not just Australia, mate, but everywhere, like especially when it's got to do with the NBA, it's huge. So
yeah, I think globally probably the NBA takes the cake right now.
Yeah,
probably the biggest,
big time. So, you know, when I'm looking back in when it had to do with the 80s, like when you got, you know, Bird and Magic Johnson, and when you got the Celtics versus the LA Lakers, and that really ramped up over here in Australia. But, you know, when Mr. Michael Jordan was coming up through the ranks, like that's when it exploded over here. So, because that's when I was young and I started playing, and that's when it really started to ramp up over here. So,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. So, mate, when it's got to do with what you're doing and your podcast, because I like where you go through your various different American sports and all the different draft classes and whatnot over the years, but, like, you know, because I love basketball, love the NBA, but just overall, what's your favorite NBA draft class?
It's one we already covered. It was the 1996 NBA draft class. That was your Allen Iverson, Ray Allen, Sharif Abdur-Rahim. I mean, just it was back when players stayed in college a little bit longer. Mm. So you became more familiar with the amateur ranks. And then it wasn't just like guys coming out of high school that you weren't sure about. I mean, actually, that was the year that Kobe came out too. That was the year Kobe came out of high school, another Philadelphia kid from Lower Merion. But yeah, that was just, it was an absolutely loaded draft cast. We were just fighting for the chance to get the number one pick to take Kobe. And then we had a bunch of homers who wanted to take Allen Iverson. And there was an argument as to whether Iverson should be taken over Steve Nash. And it was just, it's wild, but that's probably the best draft class I've seen. I like them all. I like a lot of the recent ones, but that was the most fun I had doing the research, was 1996.
And how was that feel, mate, when Kobe Bryant got drafted over to LA? Was it a bit of a sour taste over at back east, or?
No, because in 96, you had a really bad Sixers team. And so the rivalry with the Lakers, I mean, if it ever really was a rivalry, wasn't there as much. You were just kind of, as a Sixers fan then, you were just kind of mad that the Sixers were so bad and they had just gotten rid of Charles Barkley. You have to remember, I think Garnett came out the year before, but when Kobe came out, It wasn't like guys were coming out of high school like they were a couple years later. He really kind of, him and Garnett started that trend. So we had heard about him locally. And it was all a question of, where do you think this guy's going to go? And I think, honestly, if I'm being honest, I think there was some shenanigans where I think his dad had something in the works with L.A.,
yeah,
it just didn't make sense that everybody passed on him up to, like, I think he got taken like 12th or 13th or something.
Because he was supposed to go to Charlotte and then something happened, yeah?
Well, he did get taken by Charlotte. But I read in an article that, like, Kobe knew. It, like, he never even talked to Charlotte because he knew they weren't going to take him. So it was obviously like, it was a deal, kind of like a handshake deal with Jerry West and whoever was the GM in Charlotte, where, you know, they were going to take Kobe and they already knew that they were going to get Vlade Divac in return. And so that's how that trade happened. And, it's not like Kobe like came in and started right away. He started his career pretty slow, never bad, but, you know, he wasn't playing 40 minutes a game at 18, you know, that kind of came a few years later.
Yeah. And what's that like, mate? Because you're talking about, it's about the unknown a bit. I know they don't do it anymore because going back to, when Kobe, LeBron, some of those players coming straight from high school, and it's like, oh, you might not see enough compared to, say, when you got some of the college teams, because a lot of their games, are covered by ESPN and whatnot. So you get to see who they are before they enter the draft. So was it a bit of all because you don't know where they're going to go coming straight from high school? So the general public doesn't really see that much?
Yeah, I think one of the things I've learned doing this is it's always been my suspicion, but it's like this groupthink mentality with professional sports teams where somebody does something that works. And so then everyone else then tries it. And when Garnett comes out and Kobe comes out, that's when people start thinking like, oh, we can get him younger. We can take him away from Duke and Kentucky and we can just bring him into the pros. And it didn't always work. What we found out is those were two of the best players of all time. So unfortunately that didn't work out for Kwame Brown. He could have probably used to go to school. It didn't work out for Sebastian Telfair and a lot of guys that probably should have had an opportunity to play in college and develop a little more before they went to the pros. I'm thinking like maybe Dante Exum, maybe he probably should have played college a little bit before he went to the pros, but it's individual. It's based on the individual player, whether or not they're ready to do that.
Yeah, it's hard to know, hey, because it's sort of like strike when the iron's hot. And striking when the iron's hot, mate, you're looking at, how's those Milwaukee Bucks, hey?
That was a fun series, wasn't it?
It was nuts. Like,
I was loving it, the entire NBA playoffs. I don't remember a year where it was more up in the air who's gonna win. I mean, I know I made a bet with a friend of mine that the Sixers would not even make the finals because I thought they'd have to get through either Milwaukee or Brooklyn. I kind of had money on Brooklyn. That was the smart money going into the playoffs.
100%. That's who I had. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. But then like once Kyrie got hurt, and then once Harden got hurt, you're like, wow, this is just wide open. And then unfortunately, kind of everybody got hurt the rest of the way, whether it be Joel Embiid, Trae Young. Chris Paul and Devin Booker were the only ones that stayed healthy, I think, in the entire NBA playoffs, really.
Yeah, and they're looking good, like when it had the first couple of games, but then, man, they just dropped off. Hey, like coming into like games 4, 5, and then 6. So, well, especially
yeah, they put
Chris
up a fight,
Paul.
But it's weird. It was kind of like watching two different teams. You saw, I mean, the way Phoenix beat up on Denver, I was like, wow, this team's on a mission. And they didn't have a ton of problems in the Western Conference, but no. Ever since, yeah, game 3, man, it was like, Milwaukee was on the ropes. Giannis was hurt, you know. Phoenix was hot. I wrote it off. I thought, this is done.
Yeah, and I was happy.
I was happy to see. I wanted to see Chris Paul get a championship. My boy Dario Saric, who played for the Sixers, I was happy to see, you know. I mean, he got hurt too, actually. But that's who I was pulling for. But, I mean, you can't be mad with Milwaukee. I got family out in Wisconsin. It's all good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that bloke, like, with Giannis, like, just the way that his leg bent back, like, when he did hurt himself, because he hyperextended his knee. I didn't think he was going to make it through. But then, you know, the way he shines, like, you know, he goes and drops 50.
They were talking about him not being ready for the start of next year, let alone playoffs, coming back in the finals. I mean, what he did, absolutely incredible.
Insane.
Yeah.
Mate,
and to come back and dominate the way he did, it was just, it's special. This is, I hope this is one we remember for a long time. You know, it's in the NBA, it's a league of super teams now, and it's kind of, I don't know. It gets a little boring for me when I see guys move around and change teams to create these super teams to, you know, the Brooklyn Nets and your LA Lakers and going back to your Celtics and whatnot. But it just seemed like a very organic championship series, you know, with the exception of Chris Paul, who's been on a couple different teams. I mean, everything was homegrown, you know. It was kind of cool to see. Building through the draft.
Yeah. And, because he was like 13th. Giannis, but it's good.
Yeah.
And it's good to see small markets, you know, especially with Milwaukee and like exactly what you said. It's not just seeing a bunch of super teams again, just up against each other in the finals. It's, you know, smaller markets.
I get it. And I like it. I like watching Brooklyn play because it's just the thought of a team where, Harden, Irving, Durant, Blake Griffin. I mean, that's a team I pay money to watch, but it's kind of nice because you felt like whoever won was a bit of an underdog, be it. And I don't know why, but short season, everybody was hurt. It was more wide open than it's ever been. Kind of hurts that the Sixers kind of fell apart there because I thought this was a year anybody could do it. It could have been my guys, but it wasn't.
Yep. And man, some of those iconic plays, going back to the finals, just that strip that Drew Holiday, when Devin Booker had the ball and he's turned to his left and then Drew Holiday's just peeled it from his hands. And then you see Drew coming up on the left-hand side. And then when Giannis just started sprinting and you can see him pointing up in the air and then just catches
that. Giannis can he can do things that just nobody else on the court can do. Maybe he sounds like a young Kevin Durant or something like that. But hey, Drew Holiday, another former Sixer draft pick.
Yes.
One of the successful ones. And unfortunately, I think we traded him away for Nerlens Noel, maybe. I don't know. It was a while ago. But I like Drew. He just kind of – Drew came along before the process. So he had to go. But I'm happy that he found success later in his career.
Yeah. And – mate, but just also, like, and that's one of the unforgotten sort of heroes that was in that series as well with PJ Tucker. Like, the guy didn't get not a lot of points, not a lot of, like, when you look at the stats, like, there wasn't a lot there, but the guy's just a pest. Like, he's just forever running around after he's opposing player.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy I had to go over, play in Europe, come back to the NBA, I think, you know. I was listening to somebody on that team. I think it was Pat Covington saying nobody partied harder than PJ Tucker after that win. Like he was in bed and he was still reading tweets from PJ Tucker. You know, he's still out partying like the next night. Yeah, I think, you know, a guy like that, got to be happy for him, man.
Oh, yeah.
You can't be anything but happy for a guy that, kind of came back and he's worked so hard to get there.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. He would have been going hard in the paint when it comes to partying, that's for sure.
It would have been neat to see it. Yeah, not these days. These days I go to bed a little bit earlier no matter who wins.
Yeah, 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 I'm hearing you. Have you been watching much of the Olympics at all?
A fair amount. It's kind of tough during the day because the kids don't want to watch sports. It's the problem I have watching any sport now. I was down in Tennessee last week. We did a little road trip to visit some family, and we ended up watching a lot of the swimming and a lot of volleyball. It's what they're into. I did catch the first half of the Australia-Italy game this morning.
Yeah, man.
I didn't stick around for the second half, but I, you know, I saw they pulled it out.
So. Yeah, just. It was a little bit sloppy, like just because watching you know, because you can just tell that they haven't played a whole lot together as a team. So
that's when the same thing with the US, but yeah.
Oh, 100%. So you can just see when it comes to some of the screens. But Italy did have some good defense, and they were all over them. So, but yeah, we did. But it was an awesome game to watch just because it was going to and from. Because I'm like,
well, so it was tied at the half, and I was like, I think maybe I can get away with this. And the kids were like, nah. off it went. No, but I try and watch a little bit of the Olympics. It's honestly, it's not something that grabs me. I don't have a national sense of pride to watch, you know, Kevin Durant spike on the Ukraine, and I you know, but it is kind of, it's live sports, it's competition at its finest. I do like watching it. What I kind of like is watching these like fringe sports, and if I really get a chance to get into them and develop a rooting interest. Yeah, I was watching a water polo game.
Ah, like right. US, okay. Yeah.
It was the US women's team versus Japan, and they were just killing them. And after a while, I started rooting for Japan. Yeah, I like getting into the fringe stuff every once in a while if I have like a half hour to spare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was good to see because I grew up skateboarding too. So it was good to see skateboarding in the Olympics. So I was pretty stoked on that.
That was a little bit of a weird one. I don't know. The scoring seems so arbitrary to me. But
it's hard. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, so, hey, and it was good seeing some of those exhibition games. I was pretty stoked when Australia got one over the US, mate, because it doesn't happen very often, but it happens.
It happens, and they earned it, man. It's just, I think they're playing a little bit. They have, like, I don't want to qualify them as role players, but, like, that's doing them a little bit of disservice because they're fantastic players. But, like, Patty Mills. He fits a role on a team in the NBA. On Australia, it's the Patty Mills show. Like, let him shoot.
100%.
You know, I think he took like 9 3-point attempts this today.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But I think like guys like that, they're just more willing to fit into a role, and it kind of it makes it easier for them to come together. The US is like, they just want to play ISO ball, you know, just give Dame Lillard the ball, let him create his own shot, and then hopefully somebody grabs the rebound and they don't really have a lot of great defenders on that team.
Yeah, that's what they've been talking about, just how it's just offense heavy, but not so much on the defense. So, but...
Could use a guy like Ben Simmons.
Oh, mate, that's a whole nother story that is, but we'll get to that. That pisses me off, but anyway, but... Mate, so obviously you're a Phillies fan. So has that been, so born and raised in Philly, so have you always been a Sixers fan or?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as long as I've been around. So I grew up in the burbs, in the suburbs outside of Philadelphia, not Philadelphia proper. There's a lot of knuckleheads down in Philly who tell you that you're not an actual Philadelphian if you don't grow up in the city proper, but.
Right.
Yeah, no, I've always been a Philly fan, and you know, ice hockey is one that's kind of it's harder for me to get into. It's the one I know the least about. That's why I don't really cover it on the rehash draft cast. But as soon as I find a hockey guy, I plan to change that. Mostly a baseball fan growing up. That's my first love, and then Phillies. I'd say basketball and football, American football are kind of tied for number two there. You know, but I'll watch them whenever they're on. Sixers, it's been a rough fanhood with them, you know. I mean, I came up when I was growing up, was the end of the Dr. J era. So like, the best era in Sixers history. And then we had Charles Barkley, but we weren't really going anywhere. Allen Iverson, that was a really fun time to be a Sixers fan. They did go to the championship in 2001. And then it kind of just, they were middling about for a decade and a half before Henke came in and started the process. And it was long, man. And it was a tough go rooting for guys like Michael Carter Williams, Spencer Hawes, you know, but it got us Joel Embiid. It got us Ben Simmons, and things are kind of looking up. I don't like the way we went about it, but you know, they're my team. That's who I pull for.
Yeah. Mate, it was pretty huge for the, like, but I was a bit younger, obviously, when it was Dr. J, but over here in Australia, when Allen Iverson was playing, like, it was huge. Like, he was an icon over here as well. And just his attitude as well, like, for a little guy, like, and just the amount of points that he could just get from game to game. But just that iconic scene too, when they were playing the Lakers. I forget who that Laker player was, but when he
stepped over?
100%.
Tyronn Lue.
I was the coach of the Clippers. Tyronn Lue. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, not really fair. But, you know, I think Sixers fan, you remember, if you're an Iverson fan, you remember him stepping over Tyronn Lue. And boy, was that guy made it easy to root for him. He was such a spark plug, man. He was just a little dude. He would bang around inside, get beat up, and he would just win. He'd score 40 and he'd win. And then he did what he wanted, man. But man, that was cool. That was cool. I'm a huge Iverson fan. I didn't like him at Georgetown. I was a Villanova fan.
Okay.
And, you know, that's kind of where we grew up in that area. So, but yeah, man, once he got to the Sixers, he was my boy. Still is.
Yeah. And mate, going back to like to the Sixers now. So when you're looking at Ben Simmons, because he got a lot of heat when it come to like how it sort of blew out in a way against the Hawks, but like the guy didn't have the best offensive series, but when it comes to defense, he's all over it. But just, you know, it goes with any player from what I see, like, you know, when it comes to the crowds, like where they're, you know, they take a lot of notice of what players do on the offense, but not so much defense, right? But what was the feel like in Philadelphia with Ben Simmons? Because he was getting booed a fair bit when coming into that last series with the Hawks.
It was tough to watch. It had been going on throughout the playoffs, but it kind of came to a crescendo in the Hawks series. Look, I can't come down hard on Simmons. He's a fantastic player. He's got to get better, and he knows that. I think what's really hard, especially in a city like Philadelphia, you know, we like to think of ourselves as tough. We like to think of ourselves as giving max effort. And with a guy like Simmons, he's so athletically gifted that when he's moving, it doesn't necessarily look like he's putting forth a whole lot of effort.
Yeah,
which is, it's kind of crazy to think that you can gauge someone's effort just by looking at them. But in a town like Philadelphia, and we love our hustle. We love the guys who get in there and bang, like the Iverson.
Yeah.
You know, Simmons kind of makes it look really easy that you never really notice him lest he's doing something spectacular, which he does defensively a lot. And there are times when he's underneath the basket, when he gets the ball, where he does look good. But he kind of looks like a deer in headlights when he needs to take a shot. And at the free throw line, I mean, I don't know what's going on with him, but
horrible.
I mean, you can't tell me that's not mental.
Yeah. 100%. And just because you could see him at the start of the season where he was he was even popping some threes here and there. And then towards the end, obviously you got, you know, their coaching system's a bit different now, but you got the other player, like when you got Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid and just the offense that they run. And it's more, you know, it's always been like assist heavy, like with Ben Simmons, but he's not getting the triple doubles like he used to. And that was even with Tobias Harris, you know, and some of the other players.
I mean, it stinks that Ben had to be relied on to score points, but we lost Danny Green, who could throw in some offense, so we got to kick in there. Tobias Harris played as bad as I've ever seen him play in the playoffs. That guy was, I mean, I, sorry, Toby, like, I'm not a fan, man. Like, he was absolutely awful. And for making the money he does, man, it's just inexcusable. And talk about Ben Simmons passing up shots. I mean, there were several times I thought Harris should have taken it to the rim, and he didn't. He ends up dishing it to Tybalt, and you know, he's taking all the threes, and it's like, guys, what is going on here? Nobody wanted to take a shot except for JoJo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's beat up, man. I can't put it all on Ben Simmons. I don't want to. I hope that he finds a way to turn it around. But the consensus in Philadelphia is not, oh, we got to trade Simmons.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you reckon
there's always going to be a discussion about it. There's a discussion about that kind of stuff every time a player does poorly. I mean, we're still talking about Carson Wentz, and we traded him, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. But I think the majority of basketball fans, they want Simmons to get better because you need a guy on the court that's going to hit free throws when it counts.
Yeah.
And he's got to do better than 30%, but he can. We know he can.
Yeah, it's 100% mental, you know. Well, that's why he's pulled out of the Olympics, because it was, you know, to practice on his three-point shots.
He needed to take time away, no doubt.
Yeah.
And I hope he fixes it, because I like the dude. I mean, he's never done anything wrong off the court. He's never been anything but a gentleman on the court.
Mm.
He's not creating problems in the locker room. He's not a me kind of player. You've got to be able to build around Ben Simmons. You got to get guys that can score. He's going to find him. But he's also got it. He's got to put in that work. He's got to find a way to get over that hump. And I think the worst thing you could do is probably listen to Philadelphia talk radio. I mean, people get upset. We wear our hearts on our sleeves.
Yeah.
What do you expect? We had Doc Rivers taking him out of the game. I've never seen that before. You had Doc Rivers taking him out of the game on offense and then inserting him back on defense in the last minute of the game. I've never seen that.
See, I thought that would have taken a bit of a dent to his confidence. You know, it's
for sure.
Because he's going to be sitting on the bench going, you know, aren't I good enough to, you know, get some balls in the basket? You know what I mean? Am I just good for throwing up blocks and swatting away the ball?
That had to crush his confidence. But Doc's hands were tied. What else could he do? He couldn't put him out there because they just foul him and they couldn't catch up, you know? It stinks. You don't want your point guard to be in that situation, but he's not a typical point guard.
No.
He's a big guy. He's a decent jump shot away from being Magic Johnson. And here we are, like,
I say,
kind of crucify this guy, you know, and I think, who was it that came? It was Danny Green. Danny Green came out and said that Philadelphia the fans need to show him more love, or, you know, it's like, dude, Danny Green doesn't get Philly. I'm not worried about Danny Green. We love Ben Simmons. We're okay.
Yeah.
If we get Dame Lillard for him, okay, maybe I'll make that deal. But I'm not just gonna give him away to somebody. I'm not gonna give him away to the Lakers so they can use him to win a championship.
Yeah, true. Mate, but it's disappointing he's not playing for the Boomers, but I don't know if he ever will. Like, he's never played whether it's got to do with the World Cup or any Olympic level. So, because there's
always never played any international basketball.
No, like, even with, like, because I went and watched, I'm up in New South Wales. I'm just north of Sydney. And when America played the US, this is nearly two years ago, because that was over here in Melbourne. And that was huge over here, because I flew down south because I wasn't going to miss that game for anything, you know? So, And because even the coaching staff, you know, it was Steve Kerr and you know, Greg Popovich, and there was it wasn't the A-class team, but it was still a good, solid American team.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And, but Ben Simmons didn't play. He was supposed to. Like, he played some warm-up games, but then and he didn't play. And it was disappointing because he's from Melbourne. He's from Victoria. So his face was all over the city. And then he didn't end up playing because there was two games.
So but, when did he come over to the States? Was it right before he went to LSU?
Yeah, so he come over to the States. So he was playing in Victoria as like a young teenager. He come over to the States when he was about 16 because then he was playing down south. Mm. So it was, yeah, so he's playing down south in America when he was about 16, played some high school. Then that's when he went over to LSU and done one and done over there and then ended up going to Philly. But
yeah, I'm just looking it up. It said Monterey Academy in Florida.
Florida. I guess
Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's playing in Florida. And so he was about 16 when he come over to the States because, you know, he had some family because his dad is from his dad's originally from America, but then his dad played in the NBL over here. Because his mum's like from over here, like Australian. And then
is that the same story with Kyrie?
No. Kyrie was born in Victoria too, in Melbourne. So, but because I've looked up a bit, I haven't seen that his dad played or not. So, but I couldn't find that. But there's been like Dante Exum's dad. He was come over here. Dante Exum's dad was in the same draft, played with Michael Jordan in the same like played college with him.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Where did he go to school?
That was in Carolina. That's
So he was on the team with.
He was on the team.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. But he was more of a role player from what I know.
My basketball guy wants to do the 84 draft. He keeps trying to talk me into it.
Yeah, right. Nice. But, but Andrew Bogut too, because I didn't know about that, because just going back to that, when he was supposed to show up playing for the Boomers, because like Andrew Bogut, like sort of whistle blew, because Bogut's got his own podcast, and Bogut, yeah, Rogue Bogues. So and the guy, like, and that's what I love about his podcast. It's just he just tells it how it is, no bullshit, and people love him and hate him for it, but I love it. So because you hear a lot
It's Rogue Bogues.
Rogue Bogues, yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah,
I was kind of wondering what happened to him, man.
Yeah, well, he come back over to Australia and then he started playing for Sydney Kings, and because I used to watch a few of the games down there. But he come over to play for the Kings, but he also there was some sort of tie up with him getting a contract with the Kings if he could have some sort of ownership in the works. But he retired this year, and now he's got because they come to the agreement, and now Andrew Bogut's got 10% of the Sydney Kings.
Good on him, man.
Yeah. But even though he still speaks freely, even with the podcast, because he does it with Mike Procopio, and he's like a high-level trainer from over, I think he's from Boston. So he's a high-level trainer that's trained with various teams, NBA teams in the US, and he used to train Kobe for years as well. So him and Bogut do the podcast together.
You said he speaks freely. Is he controversial or something?
Yeah, Bogut's controversial because he dropped.
Oh, okay.
Because he dropped a bomb. Because what happened with Ben Simmons in a recent episode when they were talking about? Because everybody was like, "Why didn't Ben Simmons play?" And because it had to do something with his agency, but there was a big controversy that happened with the Victorian government. So the Victorian government, they threatened to withdraw $148 million worth of funding if the Australian national team refused to play Simmons in a couple of warm-up games in 2019. So because they weren't sure if they're going to play him or not, because it had something to do with the coaching, and because they were trying to get their best team together. Like, I don't know why they weren't going to put Ben Simmons on anyway.
Yeah, it sounds weird that you would have to force them to do that.
Yeah. But it was something to do with Ben Simmons and him not playing at the time because it was his off-season and trying to get his health and his jump shot back or whatever
Right.
It was something like that. So then they were like, you know, you're going to try and put the heat on Simmons to get him to play. Otherwise, the Victorian government, we're not going to give money to Australian basketball to your grassroots foundation. So there was, yeah. So, and
that's wild.
Yeah. And Andrew Bogut didn't give a shit. He just threw that out there. So, which was great. So, and
well, yeah, I mean, that's a story that should get told. Sure.
100%. So he's just telling it how it is, man. So
I'm going to check out that podcast, man.
Yeah.
I like trying to find out like what these guys are up to now, guys who played in the league, especially like, you know, a former number one overall pick, you know?
Yeah. 100%. So, and he's doing good because he's doing the main commentary with another prominent Australian basketballer is Andrew Gaze. Andrew Gaze played a little bit with the San Antonio Spurs way back when, but he's running the main commentary, them two, for the Australian Boomers Olympic squad. So, but yeah, so Bogut's doing good, man, and he done pretty good in his career. So there was some ups and downs and injuries, but all in all, he done pretty well. So,
yeah, not the best, certainly, of all time, not even the best Aussie for sure, but
yeah.
I mean, a solid NBA career. I mean, you could not call that guy a bust.
Nah, and he won a championship too with one of the highlight teams of, you know, going around currently, which in the Golden State Warriors, like, they're not going so good now, but they'll pick up again for sure. So, you know, once Klay Thompson comes back in the mix, but we'll see.
I don't know, man. I think they might be done. Yeah, I mean,
That's a big call, brother.
Steph was as good in the second half as he's ever been. And they were good enough to, like, maybe hold down an 8 seed in the Western Conference. I mean, I think the rest of the NBA got really a lot better. The Western Conference got a lot better. Portland, Denver, Phoenix. I mean, the Lakers are still there. I'm not really concerned with them too much unless everybody's healthy. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough go for Golden State. I don't think they're going to come back and win, you know, 70 games anymore. Those guys are a little bit older now.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting to see who they got the top, like in the top 10 of the draft. They got number 8, so it's going to be interesting to see who they take. And word on the street over here in Australia, because Josh Giddey, so he's projected to be within the top 10. So he's Australian, so He was playing for the Adelaide 36ers. He's only 18. So instead of going over to America to play college, he opted to play in the NBL in the professional league over here and play.
Is that what Exum did?
No, he didn't play in the in the NBL over here. So, but Josh Giddey, so he ended up doing a year and played with grown men and done pretty good. And like, he's not, I wouldn't say he's not like Simmons. He's not athletically gifted like Simmons is, but he's a tall guard. So he's 6'8" and he can see, and he's got good court vision and got good passing ability. So he, you know, playing with grown men, he averaged out, you know, 10 points like throughout the year and had some solid assists and rebounds. And
he looks like a pretty well-rounded player. I'm just looking at his stats now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know absolutely nothing about the NBL.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, ESPN just actually gave him a deal just recently in the last couple of days. So over here, so ESPN ended up giving some dollars to the NBL. It's like the biggest sponsorship deal that the NBL's ever got. So like, that's grown because ex-NBA players are starting to buy into some of the teams over here as well, which is good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's nice, starting to, So it's starting to grow on an international scale. So, but you know, it's not on a level like the NBA, obviously, like that's top tier, but it's going to be interesting to see how the draft goes. Like, I don't know too many of the youngsters coming through the draft, but
No, nor do I. I'm more of a revisionist historian with the draft. I do remember when I was younger, I would get big into the draft, and I think that's where all this started. But now I just kind of like to look back at them. I don't get too caught up in who's gonna take who. I mean,
yeah.
I know who I like, but these kids are all so young, you know.
100%. Yeah.
I've not gotten a chance to see them play unless I watch some college, you know, Giddy. I mean, I've never seen that guy play.
Yeah.
Who knows, you know, but I'll be there 10 years from now to to grade them and tell them how they missed or, you know, what guys I like and don't like. And
that's
good. I'm looking at the mocks now and I just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, some guys I remember from the tournament, but nobody that really stands out to me. I'll let the pundits on ESPN and tell me, you know, who should be picked and who shouldn't be picked. Cause I have no idea.
Yeah. All I hear is from over here, it's Scotty Barnes. I think he's projected to be number one. Some kid out of Florida.
Cunningham. Yeah. I'm just looking at it now. The one that I kind of like, Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga, just because he hit that huge shot against UCLA in the tournament. But that's, you know, that's the only thing I know about him. You know?
Yeah.
So I'd be lying if I told you this. I can tell you right now, this is not going to be the 1996 NBA draft. I don't think there's a Kobe Bryant, Steve Nash, Iverson in this draft.
Or even like a Zion Williams. Like, it's not that big, you know, compared to some of the other drafts that have come through previous, you know, so.
But there are drafts which you think are terrible at the time. And then years later, you know, there's guys that come out of it. And I was trying to think, like, I don't know what year it was, but the year that Anthony Bennett got taken first overall by the Cavs.
Oh, the Cavs. Yeah, he was a flop, man.
He was terrible, right? But he was the number one pick. And you thought, man, this draft is awful. And it was for the most part. But Milwaukee took Giannis.
That is,
you know,
true.
And that's how they're winning these championships, man. And a draft that nobody liked, they got one of the best players in the NBA somehow. You know?
Yeah. He's just a man, physical specimen, hey. But mate, going into, like, you know, that's, I love this time of year when it comes up to the draft and some of these teams are going crazy with the trades and where they're gonna shift who and just, you know, you think, you're sitting back just thinking of the potential of what some of the teams could be like. Is there anything that you're particularly interested in or that you'd want to hear being a Philly fan? It's like, yeah, bring so-and-so or trade them away or whoever it may be.
I mean, we're just, you know, in Philadelphia, the only talk of trade is Ben Simmons. The rumor mill now has him going, I think, to Miami, I heard, to play with Jimmy Butler again. I don't think Simmons is going anywhere. I really don't. You know, I could, you know, crucify me if I'm wrong, but I just don't see us getting the value. You don't make money, you know, buying high and selling low.
Not true.
So, and that does happen in the NBA sometimes. People do just kind of give up on stars, but no, I don't see this any way the Sixers are going to get into the top 10.
No.
But that's, you know, you there are success stories later on in the draft. You got to get these guys on your roster. Like we talked about, they're young, so you got to let them develop a little bit. And then maybe you can get a guy like the Sixers got with Maxey last year, with Matias.
He's
Eichel.
Good. Yeah.
I mean, these are all like great role players that you can put in with an Embiid and a Simmons. And let's hope we get another shooter in free agency or something. I don't really see anything in this class that's going to get us there, but,
but even Thibault, like, I've been watching his shooting while he's been playing with the Boomers because they're giving him a bit of a go like that, just not defense. And man, he's been popping some threes, and he's got good shooting form too.
He does, and he's not afraid to shoot it, and I'll give him that. But as a Sixers fan, I did not want to see him shoot as much as I saw him shoot. Not a rookie, not in the playoffs. But you know what? We needed somebody to take their shots, and he was there, man. And he was ready. When Danny Green came, what got hurt? He was ready. He went in, you know, big spots. So yeah. I guess I'd say I want the Sixers to get better. I hope they don't sacrifice any of their young talent to do it. And I could be wrong, but I think Maxey's going to be a good player for a long time.
Yep.
And I think Thibault's going to be a good player for a long time. Maybe not
100%,
you know, an MVP, but hey man, Andre Iguodala won an NBA Finals MVP. He wasn't the best player on that team, but he won the championship.
Yeah,
he's got
that,
the ring.
100%, and that means a lot, you know. Like going to what he used to be, like playing with Philly, like being, you know, from the starting bench, and you know, taking that role player, you know, going to Golden State. But as you said, mate, got the ring at the end of the day, 100%.
He did, and he came in there. He was a defender.
Yep.
You know?
Could have got one with Miami, too.
Could have. I hate giving these guys championships that – guys that just chase the championships. I talk about that a lot on our podcast. It's
oh, like, really?
I don't even want to give them credit for that championship.
But what it happens if you've been playing, like, even if it's a top team and you've been killing it for years, but you've just never reached that pinnacle? And it's like, I want that gold. And so you decide to jump ship.
So you could look at a guy like Chris Paul, who has been playing for a very long time and finally made it to the finals, but he was a key component in that team. And then I look at a guy like, I remember like the Lakers at the very end brought in like Karl Malone and Gary Payton. And it just was like, it's like, guys, you're not even playing 20 minutes a game anymore. It'd be like, actually Dwight Howard played some good minutes for the Sixers this year. But if the Sixers had won it with Dwight Howard, it's like, yeah, you won it, but it's less your championship and more belongs to like Joel Embiid and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. That's stuff that I kind of keep track of in my head that, you know, it does not show up on a stat sheet, but I don't know. It matters to me a little bit. Yeah, I don't like the guys that just chase the championships. I like the young kids who are putting in the work and, you know, maybe they do deserve it for their work in the past, but I'm, you know, get the credit elsewhere. It's not going to come from the rehash draft cast.
Yeah. And talking about the rehash draft cast, the rehash draft class.
Rehash draft cast. It's a tricky one.
Yeah. No, it's all good. Yeah, I think it's just me, mate, early in the morning over here in Austin. It's all good. No, but I love what you do because I love reminiscing back on, you know, when I grew up and seeing some of the drafts that had come through and seeing some of the flops and some of the wins like for some of the teams and just, you know, some of the ones that weren't so good, but then they went to another team and then they are who they are today, whether that's Giannis or if that was Michael Jordan, where he was picked in his draft class to where he ended up just going through the stratosphere. So, but mate, NBA draft class, number one worst pick. I've got one in mind that I've got.
Oh God. I mean, there've been some absolute duds. Anthony Bennett was bad. Michael Olowokandi. I mean, he was terrible. I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you who, okay. The worst pick, and it wasn't the first pick in the draft, but the worst pick was 2003. The Detroit Pistons took LeBron James went first.
Yep.
And it was Carmelo Anthony went third.
Oh.
Chris Bosh went fourth. Do you know who went second?
Yeah, he was a Croatian guy. Yeah,
Darko Milicic.
Darko Milicic. Yeah.
And he was an 18-year-old athletic 7-footer. You know, he was going to be the next Dirk Nowitzki. He was just bad. And it was the year after. So Detroit, I forget who they traded with, but they got the second pick the year after they won the championship. You still had Rip Hamilton. You had Ben Wallace, Tayshaun Prince. You know, that was a solid team. And you're thinking and
And Chauncey Billups too, yeah?
Yep, Chauncey running the point. Yeah, and then you think, like, man, if they could have gotten Carmelo or Chris Bosh, like, that could have been a dynasty.
100%.
They took Darko in, like, the most loaded NBA draft since 96, and they swung and missed so hard. And it's like if they had just fallen any other way, they would have won another championship. So that's 100%. Probably the worst one I can think of, and I'm sorry, Darko. I know – it's not easy for him. I think they used to refer to him in Detroit as the human victory cigar.
Yeah.
He would only show up in games with a 30-point lead in the fourth quarter. But, you know, I don't begrudge these guys. They're all fantastic athletes to get taken where they get taken in the NBA draft. That's the worst pick. What do you think?
I'm going with Sam Bowie. Like back
because they didn't take Jordan, right?
100%. But just
the only reason I shy away from Bowie in that category is just because he had a good NBA career. He was a decent player in the NBA. He had like an Andrew Bogut type of career.
But he didn't have Andrew Bogut legs because they kept on breaking, mate.
That's what happens with 7-footers. It happens, you know. That's one of the things I always say. It's like 7-footers with back problems and knee problems, they don't get better. They just kind of break down. Embiid's the one guy I've seen come back from that kind of stuff. It's probably because he didn't play for the better part of 3 years. Before the Sixers actually started giving him minutes.
Yeah, and it's just probably the evolution of like looking after their bodies and just knowing how to land properly. But man, that dude had some skinny legs, Sam Bowie, and they kept on snapping at the shins. It was insane. Poor bloke.
That's a tough one. It's a tough one to be Sam Bowie. It's a tough one to be in between Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan.
I know.
And don't forget Charles Barkley's in that draft too. That's a pretty crazy one. So that's the one my buddy's trying to get me to do.
Yeah.
And I think we can. The problem with that one, the problem with a lot of like top loaded ones like that is that's all we feel like talking about. We get into we'll debate Jordan versus Olajuwon for 20 minutes. And then, you know, we only have like 40 minutes to do the top 10.
I was going to say that'd be a 2-3 hour podcast you'd be doing on that draft class alone.
It can get pretty long. We try and cap them at an hour. That's why lately we've only been doing the top 10, just because it gives us enough time to talk about it. You know, I'm always trying to do this at home with the kids kind of in the other room and stuff. Not like we can do it for like 2 hours.
Nah,
I think we did. We tried doing the 1985 MLB draft, which was a fun one, but we did the entire draft. It took us like 3.5 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put a podcast up that's 3.5 hours. Nobody's going to listen to that. Even the baseball ads won't listen to that.
Oh, they do. There's some diehards, mate. You know, and you do good stuff. So, but it is good the way that you do encapsulate that within the hour, like you do with the top 10, whatever sport it is.
It's fun for me to research, man. This is what I like. So
yeah,
it's been really cool. That my biggest problem has been finding guys that have the time to give to me, you know, to do that. Cause it's not like, well, nobody can just walk in and go through the 1992 NBA draft. Like it takes a little bit of research, you know, but the hard part is finding guys who kind of want to do that work to do the research, to have a talk with me, because I don't care how they pick them. They can pick them based on color. They can pick them based on where they went to school.
Yeah.
They can pick them based on height. I don't care. I just want to have a conversation about it, you know?
100%. So we've gone through number one, flops, the worst. So number one NBA draft pick, the best. So who do you think the best number one overall?
Where was Nurkic taken? He was a second rounder, right?
Yeah, it was like 40. He was like 41.
I was looking at him.
41, I'm pretty sure. You're talking about Jokic. Nurkic for the Nuggets, yeah?
Yeah.
41, I'm pretty sure.
42. I know he was in the second round. I have to look it up real quick.
And look at that.
Yeah, so second round, 41st overall.
Yeah,
back 41st, in 2014. Yeah. Tell me. Who was our first pick? That was a good one too. That was the Wiggins draft. Wiggins and Joel Embiid and Jabari Parker. Oh, I love that draft. That was Dante Exum.
Yeah, he was number 5, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, and Julius Randle, I really loved. Oh, I love Nick Stauskas coming out of Michigan. And he was – now I got to do this draft because now I'm looking back at it. I would say no, I had no idea he was in that draft. He's an MVP winner, and you took him in. Nobody comes out of the second round really anymore and wins MVPs. That's insane. So that's probably the best that I've seen certainly in a while. Is that question like, is it the biggest steal of the draft, or is it they had the pick, they had to make this pick, and it ended up working out for them, so they win? I mean,
so you leaned towards that to the 41st to do with Nurkic, which is awesome. But if you're going to say who the actual number one was, like the number one pick, in that, not who you think is like, that's awesome. I totally agree with you when it comes to, you know, the Nuggets powerhouse. But when it comes to that actual person that made that number one, who would you go with?
The like the number one, best number one overall pick?
Overall, yep.
Shaq.
Yeah, true. That's good.
Shaq, you go back to 92. I mean, he's about as dominant a player as I've ever seen. Nobody could handle him in the NBA. He walked in and was dominant. He went straight to the finals, took Orlando to the finals.
Yep.
You know, at the time you thought it was him and Penny Hardaway, and then he left. It was like, wow, Hardaway is not even close to that good. Yeah, and because they could have missed. They could have missed in that draft. They had Alonzo Mourning, was sitting right there at two. They could have missed. They could have taken Alonzo Mourning. Not that he was bad, but yeah, I mean, that's pretty – I mean, you can go back to like Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is probably –
Kareem,
in my opinion, probably the greatest player in the NBA history. And he was a first overall, but that was kind of way before my time. And I like to do older drafts. I like to look at them. But if I'm spouting off opinions, it's got to be somebody that I've put eyes on that I've actually seen play. So I'm gonna say Shaquille O'Neal, man.
Yeah, I'm going with Bron. Just seeing some kid coming out. Because he like the media over in Australia was huge. Because LeBron, he's like a month older than me. So I'm seeing this kid in high school that's pretty much got his own signature shoe. He's got his own Nike shoe out before he even takes to an NBA court. Like the prospect on that guy was huge. You know, who gets a $90 million contract in their rookie year? It was insane. So,
you know, as much as I have this LeBron fatigue, I've seen him everywhere for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It is kind of remarkable that he has not stumbled at all.
No, longevity, 7 years in.
I mean, you could say like, oh, look at this snotty kid. Everything was gifted to him because of his athletic prowess. And, you know, he was given the world and he had all the talent in the world, God given. And he's continued to work hard. He's in his late 30s now. He's still one of the best players in the NBA. I find him to be somewhat annoying personality-wise. And like I said, I have some fatigue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, absolutely, man. The only thing about that is, like, I don't – was there any way they weren't going to take LeBron?
Yeah, that's true. Being the Cavs.
I mean, they could have taken Darko, right, I guess. That would have been terrible. But, I mean, certainly one of the best players of all time.
Yeah, 100%. Now – being from, because it's like, is it fair to say like Philadelphia is like a blue collar city in a way and just a mentality of when it comes
to. I think we'd like to think of ourselves that way. I mean, where, you know, like I'm out in the burbs and there's still that like Philly blue collar mentality out here. Yeah. We like to think of ourselves as hardworking and tough and.
Yeah.
You know, and when we get a little, get a little booze in our system sometimes we get a little aggressive. It does happen. It's not something I'm happy about, but I think it is kind of you've heard the reputation of the drunken boorish Philadelphia fan.
Yeah,
that's a little overplayed. It's not really like that.
It's just the media hyping it up, really. Yeah.
We do. I mean, it is the media hyping it up, and it's other cities hyping it up too, because you know, New York fans, they don't like Philly fans, and we don't like New York fans. So if they see something on ESPN with a Philly fan being drunk and obnoxious, like people will say, oh, that's your stereotypical Phillies fan. But what I found from going to different ballparks all over the country is that drunk 20-somethings act like drunk 20-somethings everywhere. And
100%.
They're all rude and they all want to fight. And it's just,
the same here.
It's stupid, but, you know, we have this reputation. The difference being, we like the reputation of being tough. We, you know, dude, I went to a Phillies game a couple weeks ago, and there's some obnoxious drunk people, but there's a lot of good people that are just sitting there watching a game, having a beer, enjoying each other's company. That's what Philly is. We sit in bars and we talk about sports and we get very passionate and we have our debates and stuff. And occasionally we get a little drunk and fight. It's fun.
Yeah. And that's awesome. Like, you seem like you're pretty spoilt for choice there too, because you got the Sixers, you got the Eagles, and then you know, and then you got the Phillies, and then you got it's the Flyers too. Yeah, when it comes to hockey,
ice hockey. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So, mate, like, you've got a few avenues there, which is awesome. And mate, what was the culture like when the Eagles won? Like, when that, what was the town like? Did it just erupt into madness or what?
Yeah, pretty much. It was just lit. That's as high as I've ever been emotionally.
Yeah, right.
Just, I've never been in a situation, and you have to, so I was born in 80. The Sixers won in 83. Villanova, yep, which is a local college, won the basketball championship in 85. Phillies went to the World Series and lost in 93. So my entire life had been, we just got this close, or it was championships before I was born.
Yeah.
You had the Phillies won in 2008, and that was huge. And I was bartending. I was working behind the bar when that happened. That was the same kind of feeling for me. But when the Eagles won, that was, we sent the women and children home. It was just me and my brothers watching it. And I remember, just people shooting off fireworks or guns. We didn't know. I mean, just everybody was outside banging on pots and pans, just going nuts, man. And you're thinking about all the people that aren't around anymore that you'd love to share this moment with. But I've never been in a situation where everybody around me was just that happy. You know, you go to the local Wawa and get your coffee the next morning, and everybody's just smiling ear to ear, man. It was awesome. It was awesome to be around. It was awesome to see. I'm glad, you know, that was my team finally won. That's how I felt. It was awesome.
That's awesome, dude.
Have you experienced a championship like that?
Oh, nah, not like that. Oh, well, it's, yeah, the year, like, I wasn't at that game because the year I had a spinal cord injury, so, which was 2010. So when it comes to the NRL, like National Rugby League, so you've got the St. George Illawarra Dragons. It used to be just St. George, but then they combined with St. George Illawarra in the 90s and become one team just because of financial reasons and whatnot. So, but it had been since 1979 was their last win. So, and it was emotional for me too. So come 2010, and that's when they got into the finals. They just had a record year. So, and like their defense was insane. Like, it was hard to get through them. So, and yeah, so they ended up winning the NRL grand final in 2010. And it was emotional for me too.
Was that Jarryd Hayne? Was that on it?
Jarryd Hayne. No. At the time, he was playing for Parramatta. So the Parramatta. Okay. Parramatta Eels, they were good at the time, and so he was at that time too. Man, he's just gone to jail, actually. Yeah.
He was in jail?
Yeah, he's just gone to jail. He just got locked up because...
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's a bit of a... it had to do with a young woman, and there was...
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he's gone away for a few years. So he's...
I had this one friend who was just... He was always into rugby, always wanted to watch it at the bar. And he was a good guy to talk to. I love to watch these fringe sports. To me, it's more of a fringe sport.
Yeah.
I love to learn about the rules and stuff. I have another buddy that'll make me watch cricket sometimes. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
As long as I'm watching it with somebody who truly understands it. And I remember when Hayne was coming to the 49ers.
That's
my
right.
My buddy Marcus was telling me, like, watch out for this guy. And so I kind of kept an eye on him. That's pretty much the only rugby player I know.
Yeah. So it went downhill for him. But, yeah, but you guys over there, there's an East, you guys have got rugby league, a semi-professional league, but it's only on the East Coast too. Because a mate of mine that I used to work with about, this is back 7 years ago, because he wasn't a professional player, but he played in the lower ranks, but he ended up getting a contract to play for the, he played 6 months over in Brooklyn in the States. So we played in your semi-professional league there, playing against all teams in the East Coast.
Does Philadelphia have a team or no?
I'm not 100%. I'd have to check out if they're still.
I know what's big. What's bigger in Philadelphia is like college rugby. They have the sevens at. It's down where the Philadelphia Union plays, the Major League Soccer team.
Yeah.
So they have the college sevens that play down there, so you can kind of. This buddy of mine, he would ref down there for the sevens and stuff. So, that's something I kind of pay attention to. It's just like local college rugby.
Yeah. That's huge. Well, over here it's huge because we've got rugby league, which is big, but then we got rugby as well. So that's across. So we play, like, usually it's different with COVID going on, which is nuts. It's sort of broken up the competition, but the rugby teams over here, like, we play in a competition with Australia, New Zealand, but then we also play teams over in Argentina and South Africa. And Japan had a team, the Sun Wolves.
Does Japan have a big rugby culture?
Yeah, they're pretty good. And they pay big money as well. Like, they try and get players from all over the world to sort of play for their teams over there. But, yeah, just COVID, man. It's just through it. How are you guys going over there now with COVID and with in general?
Good. I mean, hasn't really affected me personally. You know, we're all just trying to get by, doing the best we can, trying to be nice to each other. You know, yeah. It's hard out there, man. But you know, my family's been blessed. You know, healthy.
That's good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear, man. Well, it's going a bit nuts over here at the moment. Not like it ramps up over in the States, but you guys have got a lot of people over there. But mate.
Yeah, it's starting to the Delta variant or whatnot is starting to like kind of take over. But you know. I'm happy. We're fully vaxxed here. We're in an area that's kind of fully vaxxed, so it's going well in Southeast Pennsylvania for now.
Good stuff,
man. We're being as careful as we can without it taking up too much of our life, worrying about it.
Yeah, 100%. Life goes on, but I've got to ask you this question.
Sure.
So, Rocky Balboa, you got the famous steps. Have you ever reenacted? Up those steps and doing the...
Never. I don't know any Philadelphian that's done that.
I thought so. I just had to throw
that's
it
like,
out there.
That's like asking, do you just stare at the Opera House? Are you just mesmerized? I mean...
No, I just will straight past it, mate.
Do you watch Crocodile Dundee? No, it's...
No.
No,
that makes sense.
It's Rocky Balboa is a fictional character. It was a cool movie. They had, for some reason, they put a fictional character in front of the art museum, a statue of Sylvester Stallone. No, it's a touristy thing, and it's fun, and it's what people think of Philadelphia, but no.
And another touristy thing, but I don't know what it's like over there because I've always wanted to try one, a Philly cheesesteak.
You gotta get it. And you gotta get it in Philly. It's just not the same anywhere else, man. It's really not.
That's good to know, because when I make a trip over there, which I will one day, I'll definitely be rolling up into Philly somewhere and slapping one of those steaks on the plate.
I'll tell you, a very Philadelphia conversation to have is to argue about who makes the best cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a list online somewhere, but it doesn't matter because all that stuff's going to be trash. You want to ask somebody in the neighborhood where you're going to get the best cheesesteak.
Awesome. Well, I'll hit you up when I wheel over there one day.
Please do, man. You're making me hungry.
Well, brother, much appreciated for coming on board and having a yarn, having a talk about basketball in general and just a bit of the culture of, you know, over in Philadelphia and what you do over there. And you're doing a great job with your podcast. And so if people want to get a hold of you, like if it's through... If they want to listen to the podcast or if you've got some sort of social media handle.
Yeah, we are on all major podcast platforms. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Twitter at @RehashDraftCast. I try and be on Twitter. It's a little rough living your life on Twitter, but I do get back to people. And, you know, if there's any draft you want to do, if there's any draft that somebody wants to listen to, is there a draft somebody wants to participate in, get a hold of me. I'll rip it, man.
Folks, you heard the man. So if you want to get amongst the whole draft class, whether it's got to do with, you know, NBA, MLB, NFL, all of that good stuff,
we need an NHL guy if anybody wants to do hockey.
Yes, NHL hockey. Get amongst it. Get on the ice. Brother, Scott.
And Jake, listen, thank you, man. I've in preparation for this, I've listened to a couple of your podcasts. It's been pretty fun, man. The Eric LeGrand one was awesome, dude.
Yeah,
how cool was that talking to that guy?
Yeah. Like, and just love talking to him and just what he's still doing today. Like, man, the dude's on the run. He's going to – mate, he one of his coffee shops might end up in Philly there somewhere.
I'm a big coffee guy. That'd be cool.
Yeah, 100%, dude. Well, mate, much appreciated. And hopefully, I'll have to school up a bit on this draft stuff and I might – yeah, give you a hand. I might have to get up on these hockey stuff.
That'd be awesome, man. We can do, tell you what, I'll wait for you to do the Andrew Bogut draft.
100%. I'm on. Righto, dude. Thanks, man.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Cheers. Man, had some fun on that podcast. Talking about all things basketball, NBA. Past, present. What might be happening in the future. Ben Simmons might be getting traded. Who knows? But hey, Scott, look forward to coming on board and having a chat about the 2005 Andrew Bogut draft class. That'd be great. And hey, if you like the podcast, hit that subscribe button. Be much appreciated. And we've got a Patreon page, link below. If you want to become a part of the squad, that'd be great. And if you want to get in contact with me, you can get me via Instagram at StreetRollingCheetah or email one word, StreetRollingCheetah@gmail.com. And we've also got a Facebook page, Keep Rolling with Jake Briggs, so check it out. And want to thank our sponsors, Permobil Australia, greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four wheels right here. And they've got great assistive tech also. So righto. See you on the next one.